Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Well, hello. I'm Katie Maloney, and you probably know me from a little show called Banner Bumper Rolls. I've been labeled all kinds of things. A bitch, a bully, and a mean girl. But there is so much more to a person than what you see on TV. Tune in every Friday as I talk to some of my friends and castmates, celebrities, comedians, medical professionals, and maybe some political figures. And by the time we're done, you're gonna love me.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening, and pop culture every Tuesday, okay? I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
Today's episode is with Carol Radziwill. I am obsessed with this woman. She is my new favorite person, I think, on the earth. Like, everything you thought she was by watching Real Housewives of New York, she is legit that. She's times a gazillion better. Like, Roni missed out on this badass bitch. I just love her. She literally, I hate this phrase, but spills the tea. She's super open about her experience with Bravo, like what went down. And listen, behind the scenes, she's even more savage. Like, she is just everything. She's so smart. She's so fun. She's so stylish. Like, I'm obsessed with her and we're friends now. So be very, very jealous of me. So before we get to that interview with Carol, oh my God, you guys, it's been a freaking week. I feel like so many, I know I've been going on a Emrata. Like, my husband keeps asking me, like, you're still talking about her? Like, he's scared she's gonna, like, I don't know, kill me, because it's been a lot. But she won't stop, like, you know, giving us shit to talk about. What can I do? Like, you're gonna write a whole Vogue article, I mean interview for Vogue, and be like, my baby, like, don't believe in gender, like, they're gonna tell me when they're 18, and then legit be like, it's a boy. Like, wait, did you not just... So, A, I feel like I've heard, I don't know from what inside source, consider the source, that, like, getting a Vogue article written about you isn't like, hey, Vogue's calling, we want to write an article. Like, it's a lot of time, like, your team reaches out to Vogue saying, like, we want to have this article written. So I wonder, like, how construed it is, and how, which, like, I hate the word woke now that Chris Harrison ruined it with the woke police, but, like, how woke are you trying to seem, but then at least follow through? You know, don't just be like, my baby's gonna, you know, my child will tell me their gender at 18, which isn't even true. Like, you know, much earlier than 18 a lot of the time. I mean, listen, I'm not the, like, explain to you guys right now the difference between sex and gender person. I would want to have someone to be on to explain that better than I could. But she definitely said gender, and she definitely said, and maybe she meant it as a joke, but she did make the article focused on that. And then she even said, and I quote, about wanting to not enforce gender stereotypes. And then she literally names the baby the most manly name, Sylvester Apollo Bear. which like is her husband's last name really Bear because Kenneth Deal. So manliest name. And then like we did see in the like nursery situation a lot of blue, which is fine, but don't go out and say you're gonna fucking not enforce gender stereotypes. Like Noah's fucking nursery is gender neutral. So just like shut the fuck up and stop trying. And then of course you post a photo with the baby except the baby's face is blurred and you see your perfect tit. This woman just gives me just a lot to talk about. And it's so funny because my guest Carol gets so into it with me. And then she was like, oh my God, I have her sweatpants. She sent me a picture of it and it legit has Emrata's body on it. Like, I don't know if that's like the logo of her brand in Emrata, but it's her body. It's her perfect, perfect body. And no, I don't dislike her because she has a perfect body. Okay. You guys know that I can get so obsessed with different women celebrities like Courtney, like HB. I think there's just something annoying and pretentious and self-important and self-righteous and just like be. And we'd be really cool with your, you know, 7,000 abs and, you know, looking like that a second after birth. Yeah, so we had a lot of that going on this week. We also had a situation with Kylie and one of her makeup artists. I won't say her makeup artist because Makeup by Ariel is her makeup artist. So at first when I saw Kylie's makeup artist was in an accident, I was like, oh my God, Makeup by Ariel. Not that the other makeup artist isn't important, but I know that Makeup by Ariel and her are really, really good friends. He even got her body. If you guys ever saw a picture of him, he had her body. But no, it's a makeup artist that she probably has used before. His name is Sam Rauta. And he was in an accident. And there was a whole drama about the fact that Kylie put up his GoFundMe page for his medical expenses in her Instagram, encouraging her fans to donate their money to him. So that didn't go over well because a lot of people were like, Kylie, you're a billionaire. Like you should pay for it all. And apparently she donated $5,000. Usually I'm the first to be like, you know, going at Kylie. But you guys, just because she has a lot of money and is a valued billionaire doesn't mean she needs to pay for every single, you know, person she's encountered in her life. I think where it becomes icky is like asking her fans from all over the world that come from a much less privileged background than she does and are not billionaires to donate. But again, how would you go about it? Maybe she felt that that was the right thing to do to post the GoFundMe page. But at the same time, you're gonna get shit. But she did specify that it's not her makeup artist. They don't have a personal relationship, but they have worked together, like I said. And even I knew it because I was like, I know who she works with. So like, I haven't even seen this person tagged on her Instagram ever. So she literally, I think, was doing a nice thing because she's met him a few times, has used him a few times. And then probably maybe the family asked, you have a gazillion, literally, followers, if you could post it, that would be great. So she did want to clear it up though. So she did put out a statement. She said she wants to clear up the false narrative that she asked fans for money for paying for her makeup artist medical bills. Because you guys, if it was Makeup by Ariel, like she'd fucking pay a gazillion dollars for Makeup by Ariel. So anyway, she tried to be nice, I think, and it came out kind of crooked, which I don't know how it would kind of come out better than that. She felt the need to share and, you know, after she donated. Anyway, so Kylie put out a statement on Instagram. She said, it's important for me to clear up this false narrative that I've asked my fans for money and I'm not paying for my makeup artist medical bills. Sam isn't my makeup artist. And unfortunately, we don't have a personal relationship anymore, but I've worked with him a few years ago and he's the sweetest. I saw my current makeup artist and friend Ariel, which I told you guys about, post about Sam's accident and his family's GoFundMe. And I called Ariel immediately to see what happened to Sam. After learning in more detail, it compelled me to go visit his GoFundMe, which was set at 10K. They had already raised 6K, so I put in 5K to reach their original goal and thought I'd post my stories to gain more awareness if anyone also felt compelled to share or donate. I don't know how all this got so twisted, but his family has reached out through Ariel and are very appreciative of all the donations, prayers, and sent love towards him. So I'm not anti-Kylie in this. I gotta say, I completely understand her. And just because she's, you know, has a lot of money doesn't mean she has to pay his entire medical bills, which then they, I think, increased the goal to 60,000, which is why it seemed like, oh, she only donated 5,000. Anyway, that's my little Kardashian corner for today. So enjoy the interview with Carol and tell me later how much you fucking love her, because I do. Okay, you guys, sorry to interrupt, but I freaking love Huzzah. It puts me in a good mood to just like say the name of it. It's a very happy name to call a seltzer. And I freaking love it. You guys know I try to be like healthy and clean and gluten-free and dairy-free, like Gordon Kardashian. So one of those things is kind of cutting out as much as I can, like soda that's not good for you. And, you know, throughout the day, because water is boring, drinking seltzer that's good for you. And Huzzah is exactly that. And with a freaking extra kick of added probiotics, like, okay, health freak Amanda. So Huzzah is my favorite seltzer, and it has less than 3 grams of sugar in each can. I love drinking out of cans. I just feel like a unique, rich Kardashian. It makes you feel healthy. It makes you feel rich. So pretty much like super worth it. And it's really, really good. So check out Huzzah Probiotic Seltzer by using code NOTSKINNY for 20% off your order at drinkhuzzah.com. That's drink, HUZZAH.com, code NOTSKINNY. For 20% off. So that's drinkhuzzah, HUZZAH.com. And the code is not skinny for 20% off. So check out Huzzah. It's really, really good. Okay, everyone listen. Carol Radziwill is on my show today. She's from Real Housewives of New York, but she's also from a gazillion other things that she does, which we'll get into. She looks amazing. She's wearing tinted eyeglasses, aviators.
Aviator reading glasses.
She's so cool. I see the staircase behind her from the show that I remember. I'm having nostalgia. She has a cat and a shoe on her shirt.
Howard Stern painted it.
Stop. Does it cost a lot of money?
No, I'm friends with his wife and she, but you can buy them for charity. Look at this. I mean, he's an incredible painter.
I can't believe he painted that. No, I really can't believe that.
No, he's amazing.
Oh my God.
Oh, he's just an extraordinary human being.
Well, Carol Radziwill is what is happening with you?
How'd you say that last name?
Oh, I said it weird for a second. Radziwill. It's so much easier to say Rad. How did I say it?
I don't know. You said Rad, you do. I don't know. So many people mispronounce it. I really give a shit.
Wait, Radziwill.
Radziwill.
Radziwill. It's Polish?
Yes.
It's Polish. And you're a princess, technically.
Well, just by marriage. I'm Italian by, you know, and some other things, by nature. But by marriage, my husband's family was Polish aristocracy when it mattered 400 years ago. Now no one cares.
Did anyone call you princess?
No. Oh, well, no, not here. I mean, I would have just, you know, would have been silly.
Well, not if you're Luann, not if you're Luann.
No, I know. I think that's part of why they asked me to be on the show, because, you know, Andy found out that I was technically a princess and he just nearly fainted and said, oh my God, we have a countess and now we need a princess. And I was like, whoa, I'm not going around on TV talking about saying I'm a princess. But in Europe, when we traveled in Europe, it was always like at hotels and stuff, they would use the title. It was very funny. I have some like invitations that were sent to us that I framed, you know, it says Princess Radziwill.
Is that what attracted you to your late husband, that he was a prince?
No. If you met him, that would not be the first or second or 10th thing that you would think of. He was a credible person and, well, you know, to integrity that you don't see very often today, character, just really good values. And yeah, he didn't ever call himself a prince or, you know, we used to joke about it.
So are you into the royal drama because you were a princess? No, you guys, I want to tell you for a second about Carol, because people might not know this about her, but she loves current events. She loves pop culture. She loves celebrity gossip. You love it. Tell
well,
the
people. Let me just say, I do, but I don't really know anything. And I only started... I only like watch. I don't know how I first got connected to your feed on Instagram. I think it was HB2 scandal.
I love it. When you say HB2, like, I just love it. Carol is saying HB2. Can we deal with this? Let's give it a moment. Carol is saying HB2. Yes, we can move on.
And I was on another, I think a commenter said, has everyone been listening to the stories on Not Skinny But Not Fat? And I was like, what's Not Skinny But Not Fat? Mm. So I looked and then I started listening to your stories and I just found you so hilarious in the way that, and very honest and straightforward and no bullshit. I just liked the way you delivered these pop culture stories, including the HB2, which then, of course, it went down a rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole.
And I don't really know a lot of what you talk about. Like, I don't know the characters, but you don't even have to really know. You just know that it's
like, you guys, Carol kills me. Like, she kills me. She, first of all, you get on it real quick. You get on it. You get in it real quick. Like, look, you're calling Hilaria HB2. Like, you're in it to win it. You don't fuck around. Yeah. I just want to say it's a huge compliment to me.
By the way, I was upset when Alex blocked you too.
I need to take a moment. It is really sad because people think, a lot of people like take them as wins. Like, they get blocked or like, yeah, like I hate that motherfucker. I like his work. And I, the fact that he's now HB2's husband, like he was Alec Baldwin. Wait, you met him. We need to talk about that.
I met him. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. You like interviewed him. For
2 years, I think sometime after I wrote my first book, I was a columnist for Glamour magazine, and it was called Lunch Date. And I just made up the column because I thought how fun would it be to take a celebrity like this, you know, handsome, charming celebrity out to lunch and do this interview and have it be for work. So it was really a good gig for 2 years. Then it got redundant. Like every celebrity you took out to lunch, but you know, it's hard. They only want to talk about their project, right? So it's like you plug their project, you flirt a little because that's the conceit of the lunch date, and that was it. So it was 2 years. It was really a fun gig, and Alec Baldwin was one of the first ones, or what, early on, and we went to Lore Restaurant on Prince and Mercer, and he was hilarious. He was so funny. We must have stayed. He was like a 2 or 3 hour lunch. I mean, it was one. And the column was one page, but it was only like 800 words. So it was like,
it's kind of like comedians getting coffee, like except lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it was like. It was just me bullshitting them, like just chatting, talking like we're talking. And then I would edit it down to like 800 to 1,000 words. But this was right after he got divorced. He was divorced and he was very much into father's rights. And he said, even then, this was, I don't remember what year, it was like 2008, maybe 2007 or 8. He said he wanted to get married and have a lot of kids. He's always dreamed to have a lot of kids. So I was like, oh, well, good luck with that.
Did he say he wanted a Spanish wife?
He didn't say it that he wasn't into, no, he didn't specify that she had to be Spanglish.
Was he into you? Were you single at the time?
I was, I was single at the time dating. They're all into you, you know.
They're like flirtatious, yeah.
It's a dance you do. It's very flirtatious, very fun. I think, you know, he was staying at the Mercer Hotel or something, or he wanted to go after the lunch to over to the Mercer Hotel to have a drink. But then I was like, I gotta go.
Carol.
But he was
charming.
You know, he was an entertainer, and he knew his job was to entertain, and he did it brilliantly. You know, he did it brilliantly.
It sucks that he's overshadowed. That's the thing. Like, that's why I was so upset when I was blocked by him, because I could separate even when I was covering it. It's like Alec Baldwin is still Alec Baldwin. Like he comes before HB2. I didn't even know Hilaria before all of this. So obviously it made me sad.
Yeah, me neither.
Like most people didn't, unless you're like a mommy, like
yogi
or something. Which, did you see her last video that I posted?
Video? Oh,
when Alec is guessing the names, like, what are they trying to kill me?
I think, I mean, that was like full on, like, like Barcelona, like that.
There's a meme that's like to like an exchange program in Barcelona once and says Barcelona, and that's them, like their kid Lucia. Yeah. He's like, she put up a whole video of Alec playing with the doll, being like, Lucia, Lucia. And I was like, he keeps saying it. He keeps saying it. And it was kind of, it's not giving me, I want to rest from this. And they keep going.
Yeah.
But Carol, you are Carrie Bradshaw.
People said that when I was on the show, just because I live downtown.
And they're still saying it today.
Right. Oh, they do. Well, that's real. I mean, it's very flattering. I'm not at all, actually, at all. We just have similar, I mean, she was a fictitious character, but she was actually based on a real person, a real woman, Candace Bushnell, who I know and knew, you know, well, years and years ago. So it was funny when they were starting to say that. I thought, where did that come from? But I get it. You know, I on that show, I didn't look like the other women. I lived downtown. They were all uptown. They were all in fancy, like, you know, Michael Kors from head to toe.
Michael Kors, Carol?
I don't know. I always think it's like some merchandise.
But Michael Kors is like not, like I wouldn't even wear Michael Kors.
Oh, they were wearing it. Okay. This is, they were 2010, 11. And I think I just looked different. And I was still writing my second book, my novel. And I was single, girl about town. Actually, I had a boyfriend the first season.
Adam?
But no, his name was Russ. He was a musician. He was on it a little bit, and you know.
I think I told you this before, but okay. Sometimes I'm not like the feminist grow out my armpit hair and my leg hair person. So yes, I do shave because laser doesn't work on me. I am too light and I am too lazy to get a wax. So if you're going to shave, don't you want to use the best razor there is for women, made by women, especially for women? It's called Billy. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it is amazing. And it's super cute too. It just comes with this little like hanging thingy that you just stick on in your shower and then boop, like hang it up. And it's just perfect the way it was made, because with Billy, it like literally is made for all those creaks and crevices we know we have to get into as a freaking woman. And it makes the shave just like extra, extra, extra smooth and without freaking breaking the bank. Okay. So check them out. You go to mybilly.com, get your starter kit for just $9. Okay. It's so affordable. And you can also sign up to get like razor refills, and it just makes everything super easy. So go to mybilly.com/notskinny. And that's how you're going to express love for this show, so they know you found out about this amazing razor through me. So if you decide to check it out, which you should, go to mybilly.com, spelled B-I-L-L-I-E, /notskinny. Okay, important, /notskinny. And check it out. Let me know what you think. You are really different than the other women when you were on Real Housewives, like you said, but you're not going to say it, so I will. You're also smart and... a lot of the times, what you're going to tell me?
I think I was more thoughtful than the other
women.
You
were very thoughtful, yeah.
And more articulate in the way that I expressed myself. And there were a lot of other differences. I mean, I did that show because I was different than the rest of them, and I wasn't going to like morph into them. But it's really hard to do for 6 years. I think now the difference between me and all the housewives is that Homegrown Terrorist Instagram feed follows me, and so does Lincoln Project. So it's like,
yeah,
Homegrown Terrorist is like they follow like real badasses and news and whatever. And Carol Radziwill, I was like.
No, you're...
Everyone's a housewife.
I don't think this was on the recording when we started. And you are a journalist. You were stationed, were telling me, in Israel, and also where?
Yeah, I was in Israel during the first Gulf War, which was in 1990, which many of your listeners probably weren't born yet. And then during the Afghan War, I was in Kandahar for like 2 months.
I'm picturing you like... I'm picturing you like in the war, where you were like there in it. What were you doing?
Well, I was in Tel Aviv during the Gulf War, and we were, if you recall at the time, well, you were two, yeah. So you don't, but your parents might, that Saddam Hussein was lobbing Scud missiles at Israel, and they were thought to have chemical warheads, and it was a really obviously treacherous big deal. And so that we were over there, and the Scud missiles would come in. I was a PA. I was like 24 years old, 25. And I would go with the producer, and really we would just drive in the direction of the smoke. You know, the journalists would, and we didn't even wear hazmat gear. We were just like hard charging, and we would, you know, film all the incidents of where the, thank God. I mean, it was it caused a lot of physical damage, but I don't think many people, they didn't end up hitting popular places. Like nothing went near Tel Aviv or anything. So that was lucky in that regard. And then during the Afghan war, I came sort of at the tail end of it. So we were based on, I was based in the U.S. military base in Kandahar, but Kandahar was considered still a hotspot. So it was, you know, we were on lockdown, like real lockdown for a couple weeks. And that was pretty intense. That was.
So how did you get to from that hardcore stuff to like the glamour column you were talking about? And it became more like lifestyle stuff.
I know it does seem like I took a hard left somewhere.
No, but that's what makes you so interesting, because you're like in the war and then you're like at lunch with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Well, a couple of years in between. I'd left ABC after my husband passed away. You know, I'd been there 13 or 14 years. And I just felt like it was the end of that part of my life in a way. Anthony worked at ABC News with me. So we were very much together in the, you know, pursuit of the story and, you know, business and professional life. And once he passed away, it was just odd for me to be there. And plus everyone was like, would look at me like, how are you? And, you know, want to hug me. And, you know, everyone who watches the show knows I'm not a hugger. So, it was a really difficult time for me. And so I left, and then I kind of like figured out what I was going to do next. And I started writing. So I just started writing down memories, and that kind of morphed into my first book. So it took like 2 or 3 years or more. It took like 2 years to write it, but I started writing it like 3 years after they all passed, you know, they all passed away that summer of 99. So there was a good 5 or 6 years in between where I was writing, and then I decided to publish it and sent it to an agent. I didn't even have an agent at the time. I sent it to an agent and she loved it. And she said I could sell this. So I said, okay, go ahead. It was a big decision because I had never been public about, you know, my life. And it was really, you know, my childhood growing up in upstate New York, kind of humble beginnings, working class Italian family, and how I sort of made my way to New York City and got this job at ABC News and traveled around the world and met my, you know, literal prince. And, you know, the love story between Anthony and I and the friendship that developed between him and me and his cousin John Kennedy and Carolyn. So it was, and then of course at the end, it ends the summer of 99 when they all died. But
wait, Carol, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Your husband passed away on 99, the same summer of the plane crash?
Yes. That summer we were living at John and Carolyn's house in the Vineyard. Anthony was not doing well. He was, you know, it was kind of like the end. And then 3 weeks, and their plane crashed July 16th, I think it was. And he passed away 3 weeks later.
That's wild.
So it was like, it was a pretty rough few years after that. And then I did stay at ABC for a little while, then I left. But by the time I published the book, I felt like I had come to terms with, I was happy that I'd gotten the story out. And it was on, you know, so I would never, it would never, you know, it became what, you know, the story of my, that part of my life. And then, I did that. And then I started writing another one. And I, in between, I did the column for Glamour magazine. I wrote for other magazines. And then Andy asked me if I would be on the show. I think only because he found out that I was a princess by marriage.
So they came to you out of nowhere, like, or did you know Andy from like New York and stuff?
I knew Andy through mutual friends. And I went to his dinner at Kelly Ripa's and her husband, Mark. And there was a bunch of people there. My good friend, who is Andy's good friend. And I don't know, I was just telling this story of this funny story about how the Radziwill family got back finally after 50 years, got back their, the castles that were taken from their family during World War II by the Russians. And it was this big thing because the government paid out the family a little bit of money, and it wasn't life-changing at all, but it was kind of like, oh, I own a castle in Belarus. And I was just kind of telling a funny story. And then Andy was like, wait, you're a princess? And I said, well, by marriage, technically. And then I thought he was kidding. He said, would you consider being on the show? We have a countess. I didn't know about the show. I just knew Andy had, I knew Andy had a talk show, and then there's Housewives on the talk show, but I'd never seen a Housewives show. So I just thought it was this really funny late night talk show, you know, because Andy was always funny when I saw him, like at dinners and stuff. So I was like, oh, he has that funny talk show with those women. And then he sent me one or two seasons of New York, and I watched it, and I was like, I don't think I could do this because I'm not like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to say anything. I mean, I knew in the 6 years I promised myself I would not, you know, get drunk on television or take my clothes off. Like I just felt like, and I wasn't going to call any of the cast, like, you know, all the really sexist, misogynistic names and that they all call each other. Like, I'm not going to call anyone a whore or a drunk or an idiot or age shame or any of the things that they were doing sort of casually. It was like this casual misogyny that was going on. But I said, if you want me just to be who I am and how I speak and how I articulate and the things I want to talk about, I'll do it. I mean, I didn't think about it too much.
Sorry to interrupt, but so I like to be different and wear unique clothing and pieces that no one else has, you know, because I just like to be different. So that's why I go on Curtsy to shop. And it's so much fun finding the coolest pieces after sitting in the same sweats for like the past year. I love freshening up my wardrobe, and I've been shopping and selling on Curtsy. I love it because it's like a thrift store. It's like an online thrift store at amazing prices and just cool stuff. The app has all my favorite brands like Urban Outfitters, Champion, Free People, and Levi's, and all like up to 70% off, which is pretty crazy. And also selling clothes is usually such a pain in the butt, but with Curtsy, they make it so freaking easy. So check it out. Download Curtsy. Okay. Download it in the app store. It's called Curtsy, Curtsy, and enter promo code NOTSKINNY for 15% off your first order. So already discounted prices, and then you get another 15% off. That's like a no-brainer. So the promo code is NOTSKINNY for 15% off. Download the Curtsy app. Check it out. Browse, you know, go on your own thrift store extravaganza and feel super cool by cool and unique pieces for 15% off with code NOTSKINNY. So then you sign on the show, but like, do you know any of these women like from like nightlife in New York? Like nothing?
No.
Nothing?
No.
So you connect to Bethany, which like I have to say, and I think I've said it before.
No, she wasn't on for 2 years. I had already been on 2 years when she came back. I didn't know her at all either. I never had met any of them. I connected with Heather the first season.
Oh, with Heather. And do you still talk to her?
We're still really good friends.
And you're still really good friends. But okay. But then Bethany. So yeah. Your friendship with Bethany, I shipped it. Do you know what ship? Like I say ship sometimes.
No.
Oh, okay. So ship is like stands for relationship, and it kind of means that you're for that relationship. So if I ship it, so I loved Carol and Bethany because I felt like you girls balanced each other out.
Yeah.
And I just loved how you went everywhere together. And from all the friendships on the show, it seemed like the realest one, that you actually hung out, that she actually came over to your house, that she like knew you, you girls would talk, like she would like call you out for being late and you would call her out. There was a good like back and forth there. So I was really sad the last season that you were on. Was that the last season where your relationship kind of imploded? And if I remember correctly, because this was a little while ago, she was like crying her eyes out, like, Carol, love me again. And you were black. No, you were
it's like you turned a corner and like you, it's like you move on from an ex and you just.
No, I mean, I think you're right about some things. That relationship for me at least felt like it was organic. I wasn't really into Bethany in the just because she was Bethany in the beginning when we first, I kind of didn't want to get too close with her when that first season and Heather was still there and we were tight. So, but over the course of that first season, and then when we stopped filming, you know, we did have, I thought, a genuine friendship. You know, in retrospect, a lot of her relationships are transactional. So it was very transactional. Now I could see it. But at the time I was like, we did see each other and it seemed more real than the other friendships because none of the other women are really friends. Mm. They're colleagues. Mm. They're colleagues. And listen, it's a business. You sign contracts. You get paid. It's not, it's like, makes me laugh when you get so upset about The Bachelor. Honey, it ain't real. It's not.
But Carol, you are a producer. Like, you are behind the scenes. I can't go through life just being like, this isn't real. Like, I want to believe in things, you know?
No, I know. And that's why I don't even like talking about the Housewives, because no one who is a fan of the show really wants to know the real deal about it. They just don't. They just don't. So it doesn't even make sense to talk about.
If you're a little smart, you can obviously start thinking like, okay, like you said, you sign a contract, you come on, like the getaways are like getaways that are planned. No one else can come on. Do you think?
I mean, I played it real though. My real relationships, the way I interacted with Ramona, Sonia, barely knew. Luann drove me crazy. But on the show, I was the same way with them. And then, you know, it was the same for Bethany. I was this, you know, however I felt about our friendship at the time was what I was projecting on the show. And, you know, if she was upset about the demise of our friendship, it was by her own creation.
Wait, but Carol, she was so upset. Like, she was so upset about the demise of your friendship. I remember she was like she texted you and you like didn't answer a text.
She wasn't. I promise you. That's all theater. It's all edited. She wasn't. I was a very good friend to her.
You were. I remember.
And I kept continuing to try to, even on camera, say, let's stop this. Like, I even said at one point, this isn't about the show. Like, what's going on here? They edit that part out, but like, understandably. But no, there was no, I think she had decided that for whatever reason, I was not, you know, I was not her ally anymore. And that she was going to create this story where, you know, I wanted to, you know, break off the friendship. It was never the case. I mean, I was completely supportive of her when she went to Puerto Rico. I donated $5,000 to her charity. I showed up at all her launches. I was really being a good friend, you know, but I think she decided, and, you know, it was a good business decision that the storyline would, you know, the two best friends break up. Right. That's like Days of Our Lives, season 5, whatever, you know, it's like, it's like a storyline right out of a soap opera.
But is that how they, like, does everyone have to be burdened with thinking like, oh, I should have a good storyline. If not, I won't be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you weren't concerned with that. Like, that wasn't your vibe.
I wasn't concerned with it because I wasn't trying to be the star of the show. So I didn't have to get like fake married, or I wasn't going to get drunk or get naked or scream and cry. You have to do those things.
Yeah.
To be the center of a show like that. So I was always happy to be like a little bit sidelined.
You don't want to be demoted to friend of, you got to make shit happen.
Yeah. I was never a friend
no,
of.
No, not you. Know, I'm saying other cast members are scared to be demoted sometimes or not get renewed for next season if you're not front and center.
Right. But I was pretty front and center that last season and my option wasn't whatever they, you know, they send the option letter and they were like, oh, it's not working out. So.
Oh, that's what happened, Carol? It just didn't get renewed?
A lot of things happened at the last season. Like, the writing was on the wall. Like, I was just arguing about everything. I was very, you know, just very upset about the way production was handling it, more so than the women, because I feel like the women are doing their job, but like, it was what I called the Bravo machine in full gear. And they hated when I said that. you know, oh my God, I'm not, I mean, I think I'm like forbidden to say those two words for the rest of my life. But
there's like a difference between the production and Bravo, right? Because there's like a...
It's the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was different. Okay, but one
each
more thing.
Production, each city has their own production company, right. But the production companies are basically the production arm of Bravo Network. You know what I mean? They have, so like Shed Media was the producer, has been for 13 years of Roni, and there's not really difference between Bravo. Okay,
sorry
and
to
Shed
interrupt,
Media.
But I know a lot of people love SoulCycle. Going to a class might be a lot. It's like a lot for me. But you know what isn't a lot? Doing it at freaking home. So there's a SoulCycle at home bike. Okay. Don't have to be in a class with a gazillion people, like being like, ooh, ha. You can do it in your own home and like just be yourself, feel yourself. Literally, the SoulCycle at home bike converts your home into legit a SoulCycle studio. It's freaking insane. There's a 21-inch touchscreen with a revolutionary sound system specifically engineered for this bike and SoulCycle's iconic playlist, which if you've been to a class, you know what I'm talking about. Unlimited access to live and on-demand SoulCycle classes with your favorite instructors. You'll feel like you're in the front row of a SoulCycle class, which you'd be too shy to actually be in. So pretend you guys. And the monthly membership gives you unlimited access to the Equinox Plus app where you can stream other classes like Rumble, Pure Yoga. So it's pretty much just like you never have to leave your house again. So you can get your own SoulCycle at home bike in just 1 to 3 weeks, which is insane. Usually bikes take like a gazillion years to arrive, and they have financing options available. So check it out. Get your SoulCycle at home bike by visiting mysoulcyclebike.com/notskinny and use promo code notskinny to get your own pair of at-home cycling shoes with your purchase. So go to mysoulcyclebike.com/notskinny and use the promo code notskinny to get your own cycling shoes and feel super hardcore when you get a SoulCycle at-home bike. mysoulcyclebike.com/notskinny, promo code notskinny.
See, Carol, you were so concerned. You guys, I asked Carol to come on my show for the past... whatever long
you and didn't ask me. I was stalking you on DM and you're totally lying right now. I got into the HP2 and then there was the whole bachelor's thing, which I didn't understand. And then there was the A-Rod thing with this girl from Southern Charm and I was hooked. And then, oh my God, Olivia and Harry and Rada. Now it's just like, it's crazy.
You guys, Carol cracks me up, but it's not true. Because I did from the beginning, I was like, Carol, you should come on my podcast. You should come on my podcast. And Carol, another thing you might not know about her is, I said this before we started, like, she's a bit of a control freak and a bit of a perfectionist because she would be like, what are we going to talk about? And is it going to be funny? And will you? And I was like, oh my God, no one's ever, people are like, okay, I'll come on. And when I go on a podcast, for example, I'm so chill because it's not my problem. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, well, I want it to be good for you.
You're so cute. She was like, but I'm not coming if it's not funny. How are you going to make it funny? This is what we're going to talk about. And every time I'd be like, Carol, I'd be like, so that's what I want to tell you. It's been 30 minutes. My show is 45 minutes. I didn't even get to the tip of the iceberg of what I want to talk to you about.
Let's get
and here you were worried. And she would tell me.
I'm worried that it will be, just edit out all the boring stuff.
But you're not a boring person. And she would keep being like, okay, well, and I don't know if you guys noticed, but she basically taught me what misogyny means too. Because every single
and
thing
the patriarchy.
And the patriarchy. No, when I tell you that I lull from the things that you say, like you're so funny. And you will tell me, like, she'll be like, listen, I don't know any of these characters. And she calls them characters, even though they're like people on reality shows. And she's like, I don't know them. But that girl, oh my God, once you summarized, it was the A-Rod drama. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I don't know any of these people, but the one girl from that one show that's a blonde hooked up with A-Rod. You like summarized the whole thing. But what did you think? Just this week, we had craziness of the A-Rod situation where, boom, breaking news, him and J-Lo are breaking up. Boom, no. So you being a journalist and on the other side of this, all these sources say they broke up. Sources say they're back together. Is it them calling and being like, is it their people most of the time?
Probably their people. I was not in that sort. That kind of journalism is like a completely different world. And you got to, and there are people who are in it who are great and do a good job. And then, but I would say that was a leak, you know, from one of their camps. And then they just walked it back because they decided it's too soon, or, you know, it just like too soon to announce it. I felt like it'll be announced, but it was wrong timing and it got leaked at the wrong time.
So Carol, you're so up to date now on all.
I mean, am I? Because I feel like, well, I mean, the Bachelor stuff, I have a Bachelor story I told you.
Oh, I want to know it. Tell me.
Because I never watched the show, yeah. The Bachelor. I'm not judging it or judging people who watch it. It's probably super entertaining, but it was never my thing. And I met one of the bachelors when I was skiing in Canada, like 10 years ago, maybe. It was a snowstorm and everyone was trying to get to the airport, and we were all calling cars and taxis from the hotel and they weren't arriving. So this one taxi pulled up and I ran to get into it because I thought that was my taxi that I called. And then this guy sort of ran at the same time. So we were like, and I said, well, let's just share it. We're going to the airport. So, and it was super cute. He was cute.
Wait, who is
and
it? Who is
I was
it?
Like, oh my God, this is like a Nora Ephron movie. We're like, I had a long maxi fur coat. I was like, and I put it over us like a blanket because it was so cold in the cab. So there we were, like it was a 2-hour drive to the airport, like cuddling and talking to this really cute guy who was a Navy doctor. And I don't know how it came up because I would not have known to ask about it. He maybe probably mentioned something about being on TV. And I said, oh, what show? Because he kind of looked like he had actor good looks. I thought, oh, wow, what show is he on? And he said, Bachelor. He was a bachelor and he picked a girl.
Wait, who is it? Who is it?
Andy Baldwin.
I didn't watch that season. That's like a very... Oh, he looks like he's still single.
He started telling me about the show. And it was just this, like, and he had picked a girl and then they moved to San Francisco and they got engaged on the show like they do. And I got the feeling that he was really in love with her, although nobody on The Bachelor, only two couples from The Bachelor in 20 seasons ever really got married. So I was like, but he seemed like he really wanted to, but then I think she broke it off and he was kind of heartbroken about it. And then I think we made out at the airport. It was like, we were long lost lovers and like separate. We had an airport scene. It was total.
Oh my God.
And you never saw him again? Maybe I saw him one more. I don't think so. I don't think I ever saw him again. It was too perfect.
Oh my God. Is that like in the movie where you're like, let's not ruin it. And let's not tell each other's names or numbers. It was that kind of a thing.
Well, it wasn't, I think this is probably 10 plus years ago. So there wasn't like, DM me on Instagram. It wasn't like that. It was like, here's my phone number that's attached to the wall. You know,
wait,
phone, you know.
but Carol, do guys slide into your DMs now?
I wish.
They don't?
Some do.
Some.
Well, I mean, in my Instagram is all women. It's all women and gay men. So it's sadly no one's sliding to, you know.
But they could, is what she's saying.
They could, because I look at it like I DM you back, like I'm on it.
Yeah,
you know, I'm on it. You can be on like one of those dating apps, like Raya has your Instagram name, so you could, you don't have to like swipe right or left.
Are you on Raya?
Yeah, I was on it for like 2 years or 3 years ago.
Wait, is that?
I'm not really on it though, but I have the app and it's open and I could like look. But what I figured out is it's better to like see their Instagram name and then go to their Instagram and look at all the pictures and see, kind of get a sense of the person. And then you could just DM them and say, hey, saw you on Raya.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to wait for them to match with you on Raya. You could just try to match on DM, slide into the DM. And then it's a hack. Okay.
Wait,
girls out there, it's a dating hack.
First of all, Instagram, if I was single, would be my go-to dating app. I'd slide and slither on in all day. I'd look like who I'd literally have like a copy paste template and I just slide on in. What is there to lose? You could DM Brad Pitt. Like we could DM everyone.
Yeah, you could DM. I've only done it a couple of times just to test it out. But because I have a verified account, it's more likely, I think, if you have a verified account that they can see it because it's a blue check right. or something. I just do the like emoji of the girl raising her hand. I think that's super cute because it's like it's not saying yes. It's not saying anything, but it's cute. But that's another dating hack, girls out there.
Wait, did that ever work, the emoji with the hand up?
Yeah, it does
work. Stop. What do they say back?
Well, let me see.
Wait, are you going to tell us who, or is it not anybody interesting?
No. I don't. I mean, it's like people you wouldn't know.
Wait, and what happened with Adam, Carol?
Nothing. I mean, that relationship was great. It just kind of like ran its course. Oh, here somebody says, "Hey, sorry, I missed your wave." I mean, it's cute. I'm telling you, girls. I tell you, the way it's not a wave. It's like
that
a hand
is so
up.
Cute. Like, except does that play into like patriarchy in some way? We're like, oh, I'm the little girl raising her hand.
Maybe. I mean, I would if someone said that to me, I would say, well, that's part of the patriarchal narrative about women asking for permission, which is
so
exactly
you're
what
allowed
I'm saying.
To. Yeah, but okay, yeah, no.
Listen, I'm not saying I'm not, you know, listen, we're all living in this system. And that's exactly my point. It permeates every single aspect of our lives.
I know.
Lives,
when you, without us even realizing. When you taught me it, all of a sudden I started seeing everything in that lens for a week. And then I had to dig my head in the sand and just not pay attention.
I know. Well, I mean, didn't The Bachelor just announce that two women were going to
yeah.
take the job?
See?
Because it takes two women to do the job
you
of one.
See? That's what.
White man.
But there's like a reason because like.
No, there's not. The reason is the patriarchy.
There's no reason.
There's no reason that two women have to do the job. I can't think of examples now, but I've seen that old story, that old trope at other times, you know, where they can't figure out, so they're going to give it to two people. It's like,
yeah, why
women?
Two women? And why, I think in this situation, there's a two women and it's calling them supporting and not like hosting. And there's a lot of stuff going
right.
on that doesn't.
Right. You got it. You can teach a class now on the patriarchy. You got it.
But that's why I would, when you and Tinsley became really close, I'm like the Tinsley in our relationship, you know?
Yeah.
So when you
Tinsley and I never became really close. But
well,
yeah.
you were closer the last season. Yeah. You introduced her to Scott.
Of course. Yeah. I thought that was just going to be like a one-off fun scene where she got drunk, obviously. And, you know, Adam and I were there and Scott, I didn't know him that well either. I'd met him through a friend, but I thought they would really get along. You know, he likes this kind of messy women and she likes the kind of guy he is. So, but I didn't realize it was going to be like three seasons worth of drama. That was nuts.
But now that you're, because you're close with Dorinda. Oh my God. Let's give Carol a moment. She was featured on Des Moines, right? You and you.
I like Des Moines too. I just started following them.
You and Dorinda were spotted somewhere. So you're close with Dorinda still too.
Yeah. Oh, and look.
Not well, bitch. Merch. Dorinda merch.
Her coffee mug. I'm close with Dorinda. You know, yeah, Dorinda's she's a good person.
She is a good person. So how did
she's a good person. I don't know what happened on the show because I wasn't watching it, but they kind of just had decided that she was no longer useful to them at any, you know, and that she needed to take a break.
Yeah, but she because the last season because you introduced Scott and Tinsley and
yeah.
that whatever how it's going. Do you have any idea being friends with Dorinda why she was so interested in the relationship and like so obsessed with them breaking up, not breaking up, her sharing, not sharing?
No, I think what she was in, what when you come to a show like that, you have to really be honest about your life, right? And it's really hard to be honest about your life all the time and all the flaws and all the dumb things you say and take ownership of that. And I think the feeling was that Tinsley was not being honest at all about her relationship with Scott. And it was really bothering it bothered Dorinda because here she was laying it all on the line that, you know, her boyfriend at the time, John, was, you know, he was, you know, ridiculed and sort of taken, you know, to task for the way he acted and things that he said. Like everyone was pretty, you know, pretty straightforward. There are people on the show that just, you know, aren't really honest about what's going on with their, in their life.
So it feels like not fair.
It just like you're it's a job. You're just like, why am I do? I think she had, and I don't really want to speak for her. And I didn't see the episodes, but I know there was a feeling of like, wait a minute, you're pretending that you're not even dating him. And then suddenly not only you met up with him finally after a year and the next week you get engaged and now you're pretending it's this like fairy tale romance. And Dorinda and I knew that that was not really the truth. So I think that really to the point where, you know, again, it's part of being, you know, getting caught up in the machine, you know, in the machine of creating a storyline. And obviously for whatever reason, they wanted her storyline to be, and here she goes living happily ever after she moves to Chicago. And that wasn't, you know, that wasn't necessarily the truth of what was going on.
So did you leave Bravo? Do you feel like not on like the best terms?
I mean, I was really quiet on the show and I'm like, but I'm not really like that. Like in my real friend group, I'm like pretty loud and I'm very opinionated. And so I'm a little bit of a bridge burner. I mean, you can see from my politics, like I don't like when something's done, it's done. Like it's really hard, even in relationships, you know, what, you know, you always get into trouble when it's over, but you don't know it's over. You try to manipulate it so it's not over. I felt like once I left Bravo, I knew I was never gonna go back. Like I knew that wasn't even a question. Like it's very hard. I'm a very logical, fact-based kind of person. So you can imagine 6 years of being gaslit, of being said, no, 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 that's not what happened. This happened. No, you're friends with this person and not this. Like, it was just like, you know, that last reunion really was just, I think at some point I just like was like, I think I even said like, I'm being gaslit. Like it's too much.
Did you know what gaslighting means? Like all, like, I feel like it's a new term that I'd had to learn. What,
oh,
did it exist?
No.
Then?
I mean,
oh, it's based on like a book or something.
It's based on a movie from the '40s called Gaslighting. And it's a husband that systematically drove his wife crazy by, you know, she would turn off all the lights. Gas the lights and in the middle of the night he would get up and turn them all on. She would wake up and all the lights would be on and he would say, what are you talking about? They were always on, you know? And in that way, she's slow descent into madness.
Oh my God. That is such a perfect explanation for anyone who doesn't get it, because now I feel like it's become the new thing to say on reality TV. Like, you're gaslighting me. You're gaslighting me. Like Leah said it about Ramona. The whole season, the whole last season. Did you watch the last season?
No, I haven't. I've never watched the show. Sorry.
Not sorry.
I know. I've just heard bits and pieces. I've just seen what's on Instagram. Like if people like post little clips and stuff and whatever you have on. Or like But I don't know. Ramona, people who are good at gaslighting are narcissists. It's a real skill.
Another word that you love, Carol, right?
What?
Narcissists.
I mean, I don't love it, but we live around a lot of narcissists. And once you understand what it is, you can really see it in other people. And it's important to know, you know, it's not to say you have to blow up a relationship or a friendship because of it, but it's good to know what you're dealing with, because that type of personality is going to be someone who's going to be very good at manipulating and obfuscating and gaslighting. And then it really does like make you feel crazy. Like, wait a minute, did I say that? Did I, you know? And then when you start questioning yourself and for me, it was difficult because I have a very large hippocampus, and you know what the hippocampus is, it stores memories. So I have a very good memory. Like I can recall conversation, dialogue and stuff easily.
So are there a lot of narcissists on Real Housewives of New York?
Well, I think that's probably a prerequisite.
Because I was trying to think of examples now, because I'll be honest, you guys, I a little while ago Googled the like the actual meaning of narcissist to see like what the points are that you have to hit. And if I just think about those points, like so many, I'm like, wait, is it Luann? Is it Ramona? Like, yeah,
Ramona
isn't. Luann is Bethany. No.
Yes. Yes.
Carol, you know this is going to be a headline. Carol calls Bethany.
No. I don't want it to be a headline. I think, I've said it before. I said it at the Reunion United. You don't need a degree in psychology. You just need two eyes, right? You could just see it. We all have, it's like a scale. We all have shades of narcissism, you know, and certainly like Noah's like at that age, they're all narcissism, right?
Yeah.
Right. Until like the age of 3 or 4, they don't know anything happening. That's all like, they think they're the center.
They think they're the right? center. Center.
But what you grow out of it, and not to say narcissists are like, are the center of attention. That's not it. It's much more behavioral than just wanting to be the center of attention.
Carol, I feel like you're such a unique person in that it seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that being on reality TV and being around these types of people, that I'm sure like for me, like I would probably go crazy. Like I feel like my blood pressure would boil. I'd get like heart problems.
I think you'd be good at it.
But I would be affected by it. Do you feel, I feel like you came out of it like not affected almost?
Oh, no, I was. I mean, I had PTSD as anybody who leaves a show like that. It was really, you know, it's a toxic environment. It's one of those jobs you have, you know, that you know it's like not 100% great for you, but for whatever reason, whether it's life choice or financial choice or whatever, you know, you choose to stay in it probably longer than you should, knowing that it's not really good for you. You have to detox from a show like that for like a year. That's what I think. Like that year you leave, you're just like, holy shit, what just happened? Because once you get off the merry-go-round and you can stop for a minute and reflect, everything seems clearer. And it does, you have to work through some of this shit, you know, when you're being gaslit and lied to and manipulated and it's hard, you know, and, you know, you're doing it for a job. So, you know, I'm not going to complain, you know, we get paid for it. So I'm not going to complain, but I'm not going to say it just, you can breeze out of it. Like nothing happened.
So do you feel better now being off the show doing your own thing? And what are you doing now? Aside from the fact that we need to read your books, I'm going to say right here, the works that I've read by you were your Real Housewives of New York recaps, which I loved. And They were
brilliant. I mean, I gotta say, that was my best work.
They were so good. They were so good.
They were so good. And I published the first season or the first two seasons. I published self-published them on Amazon. And then I got told Bravo owns them. That they're not actually my copyright. And I was like, what the actual fuck? So I had to pull it off of Amazon. I don't know what. Yeah. So, but I can send you a copy. It's so funny. It's bound, and the cover of it is all of us dressed as pirates in St. Bart's that year.
No, you guys. So it was. I found your recaps to be so entertaining and so great. But I definitely want to read your book. There are two books that are out now, you said?
My first book was the memoir, What Remains, and that was published in 2006. And then the book that I was working on on the show that I'd finished the second season, remember I was accused of ghostwriting narrative. That was called The Widow's Guide to Sex and Dating. And I'm actually trying to, I'm adapting What Remains, even though it's nonfiction memoir, into a fictional TV series. Like kind of like Succession is about the Murdoch family, but you don't know, and everyone kind of knows, but they don't, like sort of like Succession meets The Crown.
Oh my God. Carol.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hollywood is a treacherous business. And so we'll see, but I think it's a really unique and dynamic family drama, but it has to be fictionalized because it's, you know, to write about my late husband's family is, you know, it's just not as interesting as if you can fictionalize it and create bigger narratives about
and based
the family
on true events,
the character. Yeah, inspired by true events or something.
So if Carol's not on Instagram reading about the latest pop culture, she is writing, or she's riding around in her 1998 Jeep.
My Jeep.
That she's obsessed with.
You know, I've stopped posting it because a couple of people, like, it's parked right in front of my building.
Oh, no.
And it's, yeah, like, I've been sitting in my living room and I hear my name from Matt, like, Carol. And I'm like, who's, like, a friend? And I go... So, and twice now I've gone to the window and like, and I realize it's fans that they know, they recognize the car.
But I literally, my dream is to, she always is blasting the radio in her 1998 and like, good for you. Cause I feel like that's so in New York with the snow. You're like,
it's so, I mean, I must say, you know, now a lot of New Yorkers have, you know, discovered cars, and they, you know, we think, of course, because we're New Yorkers, we're like, look what we've discovered, these vehicles that you can get into and you can drive around by yourself. You don't even need to be driven. It's
well,
so
in
great.
The pandemic, it's really awesome because the streets are empty, so you can feel like you can drive.
Yeah, but I'm fighting with the DOT over parking on our street because there's some signs that shouldn't be there. So it's like, you know, they say all politics are local. Like, I am in it, fighting the Department of Finance and the DOT. And also, by the way, City Bike, which just installed 56 bikes at the end of my street. And I'm like, oh no, oh no, 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 no.
Are you fighting that too?
I'm fighting that because that's like 10 parking spots.
Oh my God. And it's a small street.
And it's a small street, and we, you know, listen, if people are wanting to ride around on a bike around the city, then they should want to walk like two blocks west so they can get their bike like on, you know, the West Side Highway around there. It's plenty of space there.
Carol is one busy girl. Everyone, go follow Carol on Instagram at Carol Radziwill. I feel like I'm insecure saying your name now.
No, it's perfect. It's
Radziwill, Radziwill, Radziwill. Princess Carol Radziwill, thank you so much for coming on. See, an hour went by. Didn't get to half of the stuff I wanted to talk to you about. You made me so nervous for
what?
Yeah, this whole time. She was making me nervous. She's like, I don't even know. What are you going to ask me? So here, no, I love you, Carol. Thank you so much for coming on. Everyone go follow Carol.
We could be friends in real life.
Now. Yeah, pick me up in your Jeep.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Follow me on Instagram at Not Skinny But Not Fat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes. Rate the podcast that you love so much on Apple Podcasts and write a little review. If you tell me you did, I'll give you a big virtual smoocheroo. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next Tuesday.